I didn't let anybody know when I was coming or what night. If I had, I'm sure that this tent would have been filled up tonight, because just the people there in my area wanted to know what night I was coming, and there were so many of them that would like to have come up here, and just they alone would have filled the tent up. And I didn't let Brother Hughes know what night, but we are glad to be here tonight. Now, the Lord has a plan, and of course, in His plan, He includes every one of us. Isn't that right? Every one of us is included in the wonderful plan of God. And so then God has a plan. Tonight we're here because of the wonderful plan of God. And it's a real privilege to be able to minister to people here in the areas of Columbia. We would have been here a few nights earlier because we had planned to come about the first of the week. But the Lord spoke to me and said, no. I'd already told my wife that as far as I know, we would come at the first of the week unless the Lord said no. And the Lord said no. The Lord said to me, I want you to go to Haiti, the island of Haiti. And when you come back from the island of Haiti, go there for 2 days. And when you come back, then you go to Brother Hughes. So we went into the islands of Haiti. And we stayed there a couple of nights preaching to the people, and we had a wonderful time. God blessed us. We had many hundreds of people to preach to. As a matter of fact, I guess at least 1,200 to 1,500 people the last night of our meeting there. But the Lord blessed us, and we had a wonderful time, and the mighty Spirit of God came down, and people was healed and delivered, and people found their way to Christ. Then the Lord spoke to my heart that we was to come up here. I kept trying to find the will of the Lord as to what He wanted me to do, and so we're here tonight. I'd like to read just a little bit from the book of Isaiah. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me from the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, beginning at the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourself. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offsprings among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth.
And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Here we find in the 61st and the 62nd chapter of the book of Isaiah the wonderful things concerning the Spirit of the Lord being upon the believer and the church at Zion, the Lord speaking to it and bringing forth the consolation of what he is about to do. It is a wonderful thought to know that Christ Jesus is in our midst, not only tonight, but he's in our midst every day wherever we go, and he is in our hearts continually to guide us and to help us and to give us the fat of the land as long as we obey and honor his great and mighty name. The Lord has a work for every one of us. He has a purpose for every one of us. He wants to do something for you, and he wants to do something for me. He wants us to come together in true worship and true praise unto God. He wants us to have real godly holiness, real adoration, and he doesn't want us to play a game with salvation, nor with religion, but God wants us to be a real godly, holy, genuine people that we might be a light unto the ends of the earth. Because of this, Jesus died at Calvary that he might establish in the earth a real God light that all the world might see the brightness of his glory. And tonight, you and I are the brightness, the very image of his glory in the earth. The Bible teaches that we should so let our light shine that all men should see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So then tonight, if we have no good works, then the world cannot see good works. And if the world sees no good works, then the world cannot glorify our Father which is in heaven. Isn't that right? Therefore, we must of necessity have good works if we name the name of Christ. If we are to be Christians, then, beloved friend, we've got to have good works in our lives. And the Bible teaches that those good works must be the fruits of holiness. You know, the Bible teaches that we have our fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof everlasting life. If there is no fruits unto holiness, there will be no end unto everlasting life. The Bible teaches that God is the Spirit of holiness. There is no other spirit of life but the Spirit of holiness. God is the Spirit of holiness, and Paul said, he's the God whom I serve with my spirit. God desireth truth, the writer tells us, within the inward parts of mankind. God is not just looking for the outward adorning, even though we know that if we get holy on the inside, we're going to be holy on the outside. But yet the Bible teaches that God desireth holiness or desireth godliness within the inner man. You know, there is a continual continual warfare between the inner man and the outer man. And the Bible tells us that these are contrary one to another, so that we cannot do the things that we need to do. Isn't that right? Always there is a contrary thing between the inner man of the soul and the outer man of the flesh. And you know the outer man is always wanting to do something fleshly. Isn't that right? He always wants glory. He always wants praise. He always wants honor. He always wants the glamour of the world. He wants the riches. He wants the prestige. He wants the convenience of life. He wants the money. He wants the top position. He likes the praise of men. But see, that godly man on the inside, that Christ, that second man from heaven, the Bible said he sought to make of himself no reputation. He did not seek any praise. He did not seek any honor. He did not seek any glory. He came down into this world, and in this life, he bowed down at the feet of his disciples and washed their feet. Isn't that right? He showed himself as a servant that he might leave us an example that we might serve one another. Somebody say, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
So then, it is such a wonderful privilege tonight to be a real, genuine, blood-bought son of God. The Bible said, thy son shall marry thee as a man taketh to himself a wife. But you know that God has sons of God in the earth tonight. In the earth tonight, there are sons of God. There are more than just saying sons of God in the earth tonight. There are kings in the earth tonight. You know, the Bible teaches that God hath made us kings and made us priests under our God. And you know, the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation that there were 24 elders round about the throne when Jesus sat there. And that these were great kings, isn't that right? And they throw their crowns down at his feet. And so it is that God hath made us kings unto our God. And the Bible said one shall be over 10 cities and one shall be over maybe 20 cities and whatever. But God is raising us up for a purpose, more than just being a Christian. You know, a lot of people say, well, if I can just get in by the skin of my teeth, if I can hold on to the world with one hand and hold on to God with another hand, I don't care about living like, you know, perhaps some other sister or brother lives. It doesn't matter whether I live perfect or not, or whether I live a good life or not, just so I can just make it in. But you know, that's such a bad attitude. And did you know that a person with that attitude hasn't got anything? Can you say amen? Did you know that a person that thinks like that doesn't have God? Did you know that it takes a person that says, my God, I'm going to be spotless, I'm going to be without blemish, I'm going to live perfect, I'm going to do everything possible, God, to bring into subjection every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of person that's got God. Alright, so we might stumble along the way, not willfully, not just through carelessness, but doing our very best to be perfect before God. We might stumble. God will hold us up. Isn't that right? Whereas the Bible tells us that we are to go on to perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and faith toward God, but we are to go on to be perfect before God. God is looking for a perfect people. Why is it that we cannot be perfect? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, there is no one perfect in the sight of God. But that's wrong. The Bible said, every one that be perfect shall be as his master. No one shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. The Bible said, Noah was a perfect man. Is that right? We find that Abraham was a perfect man. And we find all back through the Old Testament there were great and mighty men that were perfect men. And then we find men like Paul, they were perfect men. So then we today can be a perfect man or woman in the blood and in the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that those that are left in Zion shall be called holy. Said in that day there shall be few of them shall be left. Just a few of them shall be left. That is, when God gets through, there won't be but a few left. The Bible said, few there be that find it. And when God gets through calling them all out, there won't be but a few of them. And the Bible said, those few that are left in Zion shall be called holy. For the Bible said, they shall be called holy people. And the world will say, well, that's those holy people over there. Isn't that right?
Amen. That's right.
Do you want to be a holy person tonight?
Yes, Lord.
Would you like to be a holy person tonight? You know, it's not whether you belong to the Baptist or the Methodist or the Presbyterian or the Catholic or some other denomination. That's not what's going to get us into the glory world. But the thing is, well, whether or not we've got the Spirit of Christ. If I've got the Spirit of Christ, it doesn't matter what I belong to. If I've got the Spirit of Christ and I'm living according to the Word of God, then I'll make it into the kingdom of God. If I don't have the Spirit of Christ, it doesn't matter what I belong to. I'm still going to die and go to hell anyway. Is that right? If I'm not living a holy life, I can be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and go to hell. I can be baptized in the name of Jesus and still go to hell. Somebody say, I love Jesus. See, it depends on whether or not I've got the light of God in my heart and in my life, and whether or not I've got the Spirit of God in me. Hallelujah. So then what we need tonight is God's Spirit. But I'll tell you one thing, beloved friend. If you get God's Spirit on the inside of you, it'll tell you which one is right. It'll tell you which one is wrong. It'll take you to the right place and keep you away from the wrong place. If you get God's Spirit on the inside of you, it'll direct your path. Isn't that right? The Bible said, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. I want to acknowledge God in all of my ways. When I got ready to come to Columbia, South Carolina, the first thing I did, I acknowledged the Lord. You know, a lot of people feel like when you say acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, you know, they feel this way about it. They say, well, Lord, I'm going to Columbia, South Carolina. I thought I'd tell you so that you can bless me on the way. Come on now. Isn't that right? Well, that wasn't what God meant, is it? God wants us to come to Him first and say, Lord, do you want me in Columbia, South Carolina? Is it your plan for me to be in South Carolina? God, help me to understand that that's your plan for me to be up there. And dear God, what night would you like for me to be there? That's acknowledging the Lord. That's giving God a chance to direct your path. But if you don't do it first, friend, it's going to do any good to acknowledge Him. You know, you can't go out there and start packing and say, Lord, is it your will for me to move across the hill? And all the time you're packing, getting ready to move, you can't do that, can you? You got to follow God all the way if you're going to be a son and a daughter of God. So then tonight, we are to be called the holy people. I want to see people that are called by the name of Jesus come together in a great army, in a great strength. I want to see them bind together such as they never have in the history of the world. You know, we're fixing to go up to Washington. I believe it's next Tuesday. They're going to have a great coming together in Washington. I'm sure you read about it in the paper. And I told some of my people, I said, you know, we're going to be there if the Lord's will, and we're going to take 300,000 pieces of literature, and we're going to have a literature crusade during that time and see if we can't help some of them people get right with God. Somebody say amen. Amen. You say, but Brother Pike, them Christians coming together up there. I dare say they'll be hippies, and there'll probably be very few Christians in the entire crowd. But they're all coming together in the name of religion. But it's your job and my job to get up there and help them to find out what religion is. Isn't that right? Don't you know that if there was a million people that really loved God according to holiness, well, they wouldn't have to go to Washington to straighten things out. Brother, all they'd have to do is pray and things would be straightened out. It wouldn't be in the mess it's in right now. Amen? If we had that many people that was devoted to Christ in the United States, just the United States alone, if we had that many people, why, we had turned this place upside down. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? Why, when Peter, James, Paul, and John, one or two of those men came around, somebody would say, oh my God, since here comes them men that turned the city upside down. When they came into a place, they literally turned the place upside down. They shook it up in such a way that before they got out of there, they had everybody after them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They had everybody stirred up in that place. You know, when God sent us down to Monroe, we wasn't there but just a year or so, and we had the police stirred up. We had the newspaper stirred up in Atlanta, Georgia, the biggest newspaper in Atlanta, Georgia, come out there to do a story on us. We had the newspaper stirred up in Athens. We had the newspaper stirred up in the colleges. We had the TV stirred up until Channel 11 Live come out and do a story on us. We had everybody in the countryside shook up. You know why? Because we were ringing the prayer bells of glory. Hallelujah. We was calling on the name of Jesus. We went there to turn that place upside down. And we kept on praying, Brother Hughes, so we shook that place up. God shook it up. And you know what? That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to get
get a hold of the pride bells of heaven and let people know that we're wrong somewhere. Why we're not supposed to be hit off of the corner. Paul said this thing wasn't done in the corner. Now we're supposed to be about our Father's business. You know, when we begin to look holy, dress holy, talk holy, act holy, be holy, live according to holiness, and have a heart full of holiness, people around about us don't know about it. Did you know that? But I'll tell you what, as long as we compromise with the world, as long as we joke a little bit with the joker, as long as we drink a little bit with the drinker, as long as we pout a little bit with the powder, as long as we gossip a little bit with the gospel, then we're going to be just like the world. Can you say amen? But my God, brothers and sisters, if we pull away from that thing and we get right with God, I'll tell you, we'll shake the countryside up. They'll say, well, them holiness people is back again that tore the country all up. Isn't that right? Say, well, we turn it upside down. I think it needs turning upside down, don't you? I think we got it bottom side up, but we need to turn it right side up. I think that's what Paul and him was doing. They were turning it right side up. Ever since Adam fell in the garden over there, got tilted on its axis. Ever since things went wrong, ever since Adam and Eve got tilted, everything else got tilted. Isn't that right? But I'll tell you what, if we ever get straightened up, I believe everything else will straighten up. When man gets to where he's not straight, everything else gets crooked. But brother, sister, when we get straight, God will straighten everything else up. That's what I'm looking for. I believe that's what John was speaking of in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said that the islands went down in the sea, and then he saw the mountains come up out of the sea. I believe with all of my heart that God was turning things right side up because man had gotten straightened out. Don't you believe that? But as long as man's tilted on his axis, as long as he can't get into the presence of God and feel the true Shekinah glory of God like Adam and Eve, as long as he's got his head turned away over this way, there ain't going to be nothing down here but confusion and trouble. As long as somebody tries to tell you about the Word of God and tell you about the things of God and you go contrary to it, brothers and sisters, we'll never have peace in this world. There can be a million or 10 million that gathers together in Washington. That isn't going to do any good. But when we get together as a Christian people, we're going to shake this world up. Not only the nation, but this entire world. We're going to shake it up. I'm thankful because I know that Jesus lives. I'm thankful tonight because I can feel his presence. And because I can tell that he's with me. I can tell that God is wanting to do something everywhere that I go. And right here in Columbia tonight, I can tell that God wants to do something here. This is not just another meeting. Why, Brother Hughes didn't just set this here for another meeting. I didn't just come up to Columbia just to be another preacher that preaches another sermon. Brother and sister, there's something that's taking place. You know, the people of the world tonight have literally been preached to death. Did you know that? They are gospel hardened in the sense of preaching sermons. And there's very few of them out of the great multitude that even has a spiritual ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hand to the people that hears thousands of sermons, never hear a word from the great Holy Spirit. But see, when we're speaking to you tonight, the Bible said it shall not be the minister speak, but it shall be your Father from up in heaven that speaks. And if your Father from up in heaven is speaking, then we need to take an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying into the churches. We need to know what God is doing. If God is in our midst tonight, we need to know why God has come together with us tonight. If God is speaking to us tonight, we need to know why God wants to speak to us tonight. We need to know why Brother Pike is in South Carolina tonight. We need to know why Brother Hughes' heart was prepared to set the tent here tonight. The Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. Isn't that right? So then we need to know why God prepared the heart of Brother Hughes to set the tent here tonight. And prepared the heart of Brother Pike to come here. And not only that, but the heart of you to come out here tonight and hear the word. Can you say amen? We need to know tonight. Oh, brother and sister, next Tuesday, the good Lord being kind to us. We're planning to have a group of people there at that great gathering in Washington. As Mr. Carter stands up to give his testimony, we're planning to be there to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're planning to be there to know what's going on. We may even set up video and video it because we want to know what God is doing. And you know, this is the beautiful part about it. Though Mr. Carter is the President of the United States, and though he himself will be the chief speaker, yet he doesn't know what's going on. But did you know, though, Brother Pike is just a holiness preacher, that only here preaching to you tonight, I know what's going on. See, God has already talked to me. God, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, has already told me why that he's having the meeting in Washington. And told me why he's having Mr. Carter to speak. As a matter of fact, we spoke to some of our people last night at church, and they recorded it last night, and we spoke concerning and explained why it was taking place. And explained what it had to do with at this particular hour, in us going to the islands of Haiti and then coming back. So then we know tonight by the grace of God. You know the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Isn't that right? If you don't live a holy life, if you don't live a godly life, you're not going to be able to see. If the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall into the ditch. Isn't that right? The Bible teaches the whore is the deep ditch, and they that are the whore of God shall fall therein. And you know what the whore is? The flesh. The flesh, isn't that right? You go after the flesh and God will send you strong delusions. Let you believe a lie and be damned. But I'll tell you tonight, if you'll take eyes to see what the Spirit is doing and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, God tonight will speak to you. If you will live a holy life tonight, if you will have a pure life tonight, if you'll let God tenderize your heart and your spirit tonight, the revelation of Jesus Christ will begin to break forth in your heart, and the Spirit of God will begin to speak to you, and you'll say, my God, I've never thought like this before. I've never heard anything like this before. I've never seen anything like this before. Because the great Spirit of God will begin to talk to your heart. You know, Paul said one time, he said, I want you to pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Did you hear what I said, man? I said, well, Brother Pike, he was talking to the sinner. Now, you know God isn't going to grant the spirit of revelation to a sinner. Isn't that right? Amen. Then he must have been talking to the Christian. Isn't that right? All right. If he was talking to the Christian, then that must mean you could be a Christian and still not have the spirit of revelation. Come on now, let's get down to business with God. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I cannot. Therefore desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby, but in the meantime pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, and I feel the spirit of revelation here tonight. Oh my, you know, a lot of times I'm preaching, I go places and I preach, and I can't get into the spirit of revelation to minister to them because they're bathed in Christ. I can't speak to them as unto spiritual. But every now and then we'll go to a place, and there'll be one or two that's been fasting, or one or two that's been praying, or one or two that's been sincere, or one or two that's been calling on the name of the Lord, and God will begin to bring the spirit of revelation. And I'll begin to hear him from heaven, and he'll begin to say, thus and thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah! Can you say, praise the Lord tonight? Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost here now. So then, they that are left in Zion shall be called holy. We're here tonight by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. We went into the islands of Haiti by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, and I went over to confer with Peter by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, we can be led by the Spirit, and the Bible tells us as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Isn't that right? I can be led by the Spirit of God tonight. I can be a son of God. You know, the prophets would step right out of the wilderness, and all of a sudden they would step right into a city, and they would speak the word of God, and they would tell the people what God had to say about it. You know, the people listened to the president. They listened to the governors. They listened to the mayors and the sheriffs and all of the authorities. But every now and then, God would take a prophet, he'll step out of the shadows and say, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah! Thus saith God. This is what Christ has to say about it. And you know, it doesn't matter what Mr. Carter says about it. It's what God says about it. Isn't that right? It doesn't matter what the mayor says about it. It's what Christ says about it. It doesn't matter what Brother Pike thinks about it. It's what God thinks. thinks about it. And if I get in tune with heaven, if I get in tune with God, if I get in tune with the glory world, then I know what God is telling us tonight. Here we are in this great, wonderful city of Campbell tonight that needs the mighty moving of the Spirit of God. Here we are in this place tonight, and God is wanting to talk with us. And God is wanting to tell us something. And God's wanting to open our understanding. Why is God doing that? Because he loves you tonight. Oh, blessed friend, he loves you tonight. Precious friend, God loves you tonight. God had this man to set this tent tonight so the Spirit of the living God could visit with you and talk with you. Hallelujah. You know, people have gotten to such a place, such complacency in the world, until religion has got to be a formality. It's got to be a ritualistic. It's got to be a program. And so then they go to church and they have their few words and their few songs and they go back home. They don't go to prayer after they get home now, do they? They don't talk to God. No, they don't do that. They just go eating and drinking, having a good time until the next church service. But oh, my friend, God doesn't want that. What is God doing? He wants us to hear his voice. God is wanting to talk with you. Oh, God is wanting somebody he can talk with you. Oh, how would you like to be, you men, how would you like to be married to a wife that could never hear a word that you said? Somebody say, I love Jesus. How would you like to be married to a wife that could never talk back to you? You could sit and talk with her all day, but she'd never say a word back. She'd never hear a word you said. How would you like to be married to a woman like that? Oh, I'll tell you, that'd be a problem, wouldn't it? Now, on the other hand, how would you, women, like to be married to a man that you could talk to all day long, you'd never hear a word you said? You know, you say, look, husband, I sure would like to have a nice, beautiful dress. He doesn't hear a word of it. Say, husband, would you take me out to lunch just one time this week? He doesn't hear a word of it. He doesn't speak back to you. He doesn't say anything. Now, wouldn't that be similar marriage? How do you think God feels? We say that we're children of God. We say that we're the bride of Christ. We say tonight that we're the family of God. But we can't hear God speak. We don't understand God's voice. We can't talk back to God. What's the matter with us, folks? Come on, folks. Let's love Jesus. Let's make love to Jesus. Glory to God, I want to hear what he's saying to me. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. Glory to God, listen to that voice from on high. Let God speak to you. You know what's wrong with us? We'd rather hear some rock and roll and vain jam. Come on now. We can't stand to throw the rock and roll out the window. We've got our ears all gummed up with earwax. Come on now. Got too much rock and roll wax in there. We need an ear cleaning. Come on. Isn't that right? That's what it is. See, we're drunk off of the cares of life. The Bible said if you be that way, the day will come upon you unawares. Drunk off the cares of life. That's what's wrong with us, folks. All over the world tonight, I'm talking about people that are supposed to be godly people. They're drunk off the cares of life. And I may get a repercussion out of this, but I'm going to say it anyway. They can tell you more about the bulldogs and the lions and the tigers and what the score was from the local football team and the basketball team and the baseball team. They can tell you more about it than they can about what God had to say. Amen. And what happened down at the church service. Amen. Come on now. I didn't get too many amens there. Amen. Now, it just might be that somebody here lives on Crooked Avenue. It might be that you have to move over to the street called Street tonight. Come on now. If you love Jesus, let's be truthful about it. Amen. Glory to God. We don't want to say nothing to hurt you. We want to help you. Amen. I thought the truth set you free. The truth will set you free tonight. I want to know what's going on in heaven, don't you? Amen. I want to know what God is saying tonight. Amen. Oh, folks, it's a bad era that we're living in. My, what a time. Oh, Brother Daniel, while everybody else was having a good time down there, Daniel, he slipped back his plate. He began to ring the bells of heaven. He began to call on God. Babylon was living. liveth in you, the love of the Father is not there. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And there they were. They really had the love of the world. And they really had a vain kingdom. But old Daniel, he was fasting and praying. And all of a sudden, down out of heaven stepped the angel of God. My God, there came God out of the heavens in the form of an angel. And there he stepped down before Daniel. And he looked at Daniel and said, "Oh, thou beloved man of God." Ooh, I tell you what, wouldn't that be wonderful if an angel would step down and look at me and say, "Oh, thou beloved man of God. Oh, thou beloved woman of God. Oh, Hail Mary, thy favorite among women. Glory to God." We need some women like that today. You know why? She was a pure woman, a holy woman, a godly woman. She had her mind on God, not on the world. Hallelujah. She wasn't running after every Elvis Presley that come along. Come on now. If you're an Elvis fan, we can't change to somebody else. Amen. You know what it is? We need our minds on God. Need our minds on God. A lot of people say, "Brother Pike, I don't mess with rock and roll." I'll tell you what, some of these religious jive hipped up songs that they call religion, why, it ought to be thrown in the sea. It's got more rock and roll than some of the love songs and the jive songs in the world. Somebody said, "But Brother Pike, why, these words of God." I know the devil stood there and he quoted the words of God to Jesus, didn't he? He said, "It is written, cast yourself down from here, and he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, and they'll bear thee up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Wasn't them the words of God? But my, look at the devil that was behind them. Look at the spirit, look at the anointing that was behind them. The power of Satan himself. Isn't that right? You say, "Why, them lovely words that they're saying." Brother, the Bible said because they had not a love for the truth, they changed the word of God into a lie. They changed the word of God into a lie. Isn't that right? Why, that spirit behind those words intend to kill Jesus. If Jesus had jumped off of there, it would have killed him. Somebody said, "But he's the Son of God." Brother Pike, he couldn't have died, but he did die. When they nailed the nails in his hands, he died. Didn't he die? And if the devil could have got him to jump off of there, he'd have died before the atonement. God's plan would have been void. He was a human being. He could have never spilled his blood for me because he would have been obeying the devil. And let me tell you something, folks. When you honor those things and you take those evil things into your home and you receive magazines and books and pictures and all these kind of things, that's obscene and not right. God despises those kind of things. And you're not holy. You're not that one that he can say, "Oh, hell, Mary, thou who art highly favored of God." Oh, brother, we should have a house lady. We need to do like old Paul of old, don't we? We need to do like Paul of old and get some of the books together and have a little bonfire too. Somebody say, "I love Jesus," and put some emphasis over inside of it while it's burning. Come on now. That's what we need tonight. The Bible said Moses was faithful in all of his house. Isn't that right? I know that this is our house here. And brother, when we narrow it down just a little bit closer, what do we have to do? Let's get faithful in our house. Not only in the natural house, but brother, sister, we need to get our thoughts straightened out with God. Amen. We need to think right. Amen. You know, the Bible said casting down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we pray as David of old did. Old David prayed, "God, forgive me for the thoughts and the intents of my heart." Oh, brother, let our motives be right tonight. Let our spirits be right tonight. And let our thoughts be right tonight that we can get right with God. Oh, make this house clean on the inside so God can come on the inside of it tonight. That's what we need to do. How would you like to live in a house? And you know, mosquitoes everywhere and bugs everywhere. Bats everywhere. Come on now. You hear, you live in a house and you don't have any screens over it to keep the bugs out, and you can't open your mouth without smelling a bug. You can't sit down without the mosquitoes eating you up. Come on now. In that house, you're miserable. That house is dirty and filthy. You can't have a good, decent smell. Well, it don't smell like a rose garden. How'd you like to live in a house like that? I've been in a lot of them. I've been in a lot of them where they wanted me to sit down to eat, and I said, oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord. If I ever get it down, you'll have to help me to keep it down. That's right. I didn't want to hurt him. How'd you like to live in a house like that? Oh, friend, that's the way we get, see? If we're not careful, this temple, this house, this building, Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, oh, we'll be that way here. We need to get up the screen of faith to keep the pestilence out. We need to get perfumed with the Holy Ghost. We need to sanctify and clean up on the inside. Glory to God, we need to put a little cleanser in there. Amen. We need to clean our heart up, clean our lives up. Isn't that right? If we do that and come together in a brotherhood, my, the Holy Ghost will come like it did on the day of Pentecost. Somebody said, where is that God of Pentecost? Where is that God of Elijah? Oh my, where is Pentecost and where is Elijah? You know, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then that means he's got to act on the same principles. Do you agree to that? Are you doing the same things the early saints did? Come on now. Are you doing the same things the early saints did? Well, then we know why the Holy Ghost isn't doing what he's supposed to do. Come on now. If we do the same thing they did, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I challenge you to do it. And watch Christ do the very same thing that he did in that day. Promise to do it. Isn't that right? But we've got to get sin out of the camp. The golden legs has got to go. We've got to come together. Can't gossip and break up the church. God hates him dividers. God hates him despisers. God hates them that cause division among the brethren. Come on now. I hope you don't live on Crooked Avenue tonight. I said, God don't like tailbearers. God likes people that make peace. The Bible said, the children of peace, they'll make peace. God is the Prince of Peace. I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. I know I'm taking a long time tonight. But just give me a few more minutes and I'm going to let you go. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? So then we don't go to invite God in a dirty house, do we? Oh, my, no. My, if you invited the pastor over to your house, you'd like to have it nice and clean, wouldn't you? If you invited him over and you fixed him a nice dinner, you wouldn't want him to sit down and eat a piece of pie and there was a hair. Somebody said, well, I'll just take the hair out and keep eating. I just push the pie aside and keep going. I can't help it. It does something to me. You know what? God wants perfection. Isn't that right? You cook up a great, big, beautiful meal for God. You fix a nice, lovely meal for God. And then you add a little bit of the old carnal mind, the carnal way of life. And you bring a little bit of compromise in there. And you start sidestep the things of God. Bring a little lust, a little covetousness in there. Bring a little wrong thinking in there. A little joking in there. And the first news you know, you got a hair in the pie. And it ain't no good, folks. The Holy Ghost won't eat it. He's coming after one that's perfect. He's coming after one that's perfect. Oh, hallelujah. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you in the temple. Let's make it convenient for him. Let's make it comfortable for him tonight. Say, how can I do that, Brother Potty? Let's treat it with that oil of gladness. And let's spray it with that glorious Holy Ghost perfume that Aaron had back there to where we smell like a rose garden to God. Isn't that right? We can do it if we want to. So then they shall be called holy. I want you to stand with me. I would like to go on and go on and go on preaching to you tonight. But I thank the Lord for his wonderful presence, for his wonderful glory, for his wonderful grace, and for his wonderful love. Don't you love Jesus tonight? I'm going to ask Susan to come up here and play on the organ for just a minute, if Brother Hughes doesn't mind. And I just want to take just a minute or two here with you. We're not going to weary you nor hold you too long. I want to say again, it's a real privilege to be here in Columbia, South Carolina, and have the honor to minister to you people and to be here with Brother Hughes. Appreciate the invitation. Folks, I want to go to heaven, don't you? I tell you what, it's a lot closer than you could ever imagine tonight.
It's a lot closer than you could ever imagine tonight. You don't know how close heaven really is. You don't understand tonight the reality of heaven. But oh, beloved friend, if you only knew tonight, if you only knew tonight just how close heaven really is, how wonderful it is. You see the new automobiles, and you see the new homes, and you see the new suits and the new dresses. You see the sparkle and the jingle of the world. And it catches your eyes, and you want to be part of it. But oh, you say, that is so lovely. That is so beautiful. But friend, don't forget, heaven is going to be far more lovely. Heaven is going to be far more beautiful. Think about the wonderful things of heaven, that which shall never fade away. Oh, what a wonderful thought tonight. To be like Jesus, the songwriter said, to be like Jesus. Oh, that's the answer tonight, to be like Jesus. The Bible teaches that we ought to follow in his steps. That we ought to follow. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. The Bible said while Peter spake to him, the Holy Ghost fell on him. I feel the Holy Ghost falling on some people right now. I feel some faith here tonight. And I feel the real, genuine Holy Ghost. You know there's a real, genuine Holy Ghost. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to conjure nothing up. You just start loving Jesus and sincerely praising God and believing. And all of a sudden, that invisible quickening that reached down and raised the body of the Son of God out of the clay begins to move, and you can feel that quickening. The Bible said that the Spirit being you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall by his Spirit also quicken your mortal body. Isn't that right? Tonight, I want to take a minute or two tonight. And if there's anything lacking in your life, if there's anything at all tonight lacking in your life, I want you to step up here for just a minute. I want to pray for you. While we were in the islands of Haiti, when I gave an invitation, there were so many hundreds of people that stepped out and came up. You know why? Because they were looking for Jesus. They were looking for Jesus. And tonight, you need to be looking for Jesus. If you're looking for Jesus tonight, and you need something in your life, I'm going to take just a few minutes, and I'm not going to wait long. But if you're sincere, I want you to step up here tonight. If you'd like to have my prayers, I'd like for you to step up here tonight. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you sincerely tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you feel his presence tonight? Let's sing this little song, sister. I'll enter his courage with thanksgiving. I know that you probably know this little chorus, so we want to sing it together. Come in, the King. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Do you know? How do you know? Do you know it tonight? You don't know that. Okay, let's see if we can get just a little bit lower. I'm hoarse tonight. I'm going to sing it over and let you learn it tonight. Will that be all right? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Now, would you say with me? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Come on now. He hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I
will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. He hath made me glad, oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. I wish you could have heard them sing that down in the islands. The hundreds of people, as their voices ring out to God, he hath made me glad. Did you know Jesus can really make you glad? Did you know that? He really, truly, tonight can make you glad. You know, a lot of times we make believe, and we try to make life that we feel good when we don't feel good. And we try to make people think that we're glad when we're really not glad. But, oh friend, tonight Jesus can make you glad. Down deep in your heart tonight, God can take away the sadness of your heart, and God can make you glad tonight. You love Jesus? We're going to sing it again. I want you to clap your hands and sing it with me. If you pick it up in the words, I want you to try to sing it with me. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Don't you feel that gladness? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad, yes, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. He hath made me glad, oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Now just lift your hands up while she's playing on the organ tonight. Oh, Ramanda Rianda Robo, Shidaba Rianda Robo, Sanda Raman. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, Rabba Rianda Robo, Shita Ramanda Rianda Robo, Shanda Ramo, Saya. Oh, Lama Saita Rianda Robo, Shanda Rianda Robo, Sanda Ramo, Saya. Willa Vandalia, Sanda Rianda Robo, Shita Ramanda Rianda Robo, Saya. Hallelujah. I feel his lovely presence tonight. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, I thank you for making me glad tonight. I thank you for your divine deliverance tonight. May the lovely Spirit of the Holy Ghost be here tonight, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Lord, bless us tonight. Bless us with your presence tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul, for I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Tonight, Jesus, hallelujah, I want you to touch these people.